Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. Most of us know about the Olympics and about the Special Olympics as a competitive sports program for people with disabilities. In fact, at the last Olympics game, I watched some of the Special Olympics. They were televised afterwards. I think they're getting much more attention, and it really is exciting to see these athletes with disabilities really compete fiercely and see that sportsmanship and to see people really enjoying the games. But few people know about the health equity work that Special Olympics does for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And here to talk about this work is Dr. Ann Williams, who is a registered nurse and vice president of health services and education for Special Olympics International. Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills, Ann.
Thank you so much, Diana. So appreciate the opportunity of being here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I was friends years ago with Jim Braxton, who played football with the Buffalo Bills. We went to school together, and his family, I don't know if he started it, but certainly his wife was very involved. I think he was very involved with the Special Olympics. Unfortunately, he died a very early, unfortunate, untimely death. But he was a great fan of the Special Olympics. So for those people who may not know about Special Olympics, tell us about the competitive sports part of it.
Sure, we'd be happy to. So Special Olympics has been around for a long time. Most Americans are familiar with Special Olympics. They've heard about it or seen it or know of somebody who's been an athlete. But it got started in 1968 by our founder, Eunice Kennedy Shriver. And it was really out of her motivation because she had a sister, Rosemary Kennedy, who had an intellectual disability. And she really had a vision. She wanted to be able to, through sports, have people with intellectual disabilities really be transformed and also to change public perceptions of people with intellectual disabilities. So it started, as I said, a very small Camp Shriver in her backyard, and it's grown to a global movement with, you know, over 200 programs globally. 4 million athletes, wow. 1 million coaches, 1 million coaches and volunteers, wow. And we offer 32 Olympic type sports. So those are open to anyone, all ages and ability, anywhere from 8 years of age on up. So that gives a little bit of idea of who we are.
And are you now always piggybacking on the Olympics themselves? Is it offered just every 4 years, the Olympic Games themselves, Special Olympics?
Yes, so we do have Olympic-type programming. So we do have a summer, a global, like a World Summer Games and a World Winter Games.
Great.
And then we have each country usually has their own game. Like we have our USA Summer Games or next year in Minnesota. And we do alternate back and forth. Like we just had our World Winter Games this past March in Turin, Italy. And so we don't follow the exact schedule as the General Olympics, but we do have that every 2 years. There's either a winter or summer World Games happening. But we also have some other things. We have a unified World Cup, which is for those who like soccer or football, as it is called in the rest of the world. And we are starting we're going to have a 3x3 basketball tournament later in December in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So providing lots of different opportunities for our athletes and people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to experience sports and really experience joy and improve their health.
And do you have a special event for wheelchair basketball?
That is really through the Paralympics.
Ah.
So the Paralympics are the ones who work with individuals who may be either paralyzed or amputees.
Ah.
And our programming is for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD, as many people refer to it.
I didn't realize that difference. Interesting.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, it's fine. A lot of people don't. That's fine.
Yeah. And I know that with the Paralympics, I mean, the competition is fierce. And there's some really good playing. So, different.
You would see some fierce competitions, on our field of play as well. You know, the athletes take it very seriously, but they also have a lot of fun, too.
Yeah. So then I was going to ask you about why this population of intellectual and developmentally disabled folks. And yet, you sort of explain that with Eunice Kennedy, right? So why, though? Why is this sports competition, if you will? I'm going to frame it that way. You can frame it another way for me. Mm-hmm. Why is that so important for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, it's important for all of us, as you mentioned at the top of the show, to be physically active. And we feel that for folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD, this gives them opportunities to develop their physical motor skills, to improve their overall fitness and their overall health. And also, it enhances their social skills. They can demonstrate courage and bravery through their competition, experience joy, and really be able to participate in a larger community with other Special Olympics athletes. So it's for all those reasons I think that we've been so successful over the years.
Now, you have what's called Path to Health Equity. Mm-hmm. Talk about Path to Health Equity.
Yes, I would love to. So, many people know us for our sports and competitions, but they're not as familiar with all of our health programming, our health work that we're very proud of. And this health programming is specifically designed and so important for people with IDD because this population really faces some very significant health disparities. Many people may not be aware that there is a very large life expectancy disparity. In fact, people with IDD live 16 to 20 years less than the general population. And that's a pretty alarming statistic. And there are many factors that contribute to this disparity. Many are, more likely to experience poor health outcomes and have less access to high quality inclusive health care as compared to the general population. But at the Special Olympics, our health programming really helps to address these disparities by providing health services, promoting health lifestyles, and also building capacity in health systems, in healthcare professionals, and in the community.
How are you doing that?
Yeah, so the PATH is a four-prong strategic approach, and PATH stands, there's a letter there to stand for each arm, which I can describe a little bit. Uh-huh. So the P stands for prevention, and the goal of that arm is to increase athlete access to and participation in health and fitness education programs. So as an example, they are really focused on prevention throughout the lifespan. They do a lot of work with early childhood development programs, really getting young children before the age of 8 involved in improving their physical motor skills, their social skills, communication skills, et cetera. And then another example is we have family health forums. So families of individuals with IDD can connect and learn from each other and really have a sense of a learning community and social support through the family health forums. So the next letter, A, stands for assessment and care coordination. And the goal of that arm is to improve our early detection and care coordination across our 9 healthy athletes disciplines. So I'll say a few words about that if I can.
Yes, please.
So Healthy Athletes is a preventive health screening program that we started in 1997. So it's been around a little bit, it's a little bit younger than the overall Special Olympics. But when athletes come to these various competitions and events, they're provided by their local programs, these screenings. And it's everything from health promotion, opening eyes, special smiles, healthy hearing, strong minds, fun fitness, fit feet, MedFest, and our healthy young athletes. So that's quick overview, but when these athletes come in and they are provided the screenings, we find a lot of health problems that may not have been addressed. Mm. And so what we were able to do is connect those individuals with care in their community. Mm. As an example, over time, we've done over 2 million health screenings and done over 50,000 medical referrals. So that is really about getting people connected to care back in their home community. And then we also help to educate the athlete as to how to take a more active role in their health and what they can do to care for themselves at home and stay healthy. So that's our assessment arm. The next arm, the T in the PATH, is for training. And the goal of that is to highlight the importance of curriculum and training for healthcare workforce, both the current and the future healthcare workforce. What we know, unfortunately, is from a fairly recent article in 2021 that Lisa Iozzoni reported that 69% of healthcare professionals say that they've had little to no training in how to care for people with IDD. Mm. So that makes them, maybe perhaps uncomfortable or, nervous about caring for people with IDD. And we want to change that narrative. So we're doing a lot of education. One example, we've just completed development of a 5 module set on inclusive health fundamentals that is being now used in over 130 schools across the globe. And it's been translated into 6 languages. So we hope that that is one example of a lot of the work we're doing in that area to really be able to better equip our, our current and future healthcare workforce to better provide inclusive health. And then the H, the last arm, is about health systems change. And the goal for that is that we want to create innovative and targeted partnerships and policy changes that both local, national, regional, and global levels to elevate the voices and the health needs of individuals with IDD. And so we've done a lot of work with recently, for example, we're working with the CDC to adapting the National Diabetes Prevention Program curriculum so that people with IDD, will in the future be able to take that curriculum and understand it and be involved in their help to prevent type 2 diabetes. So that's a lot of information. I'll pause there and see if you have any questions.
Yes, I have a number of... I have a number of questions, but let me just remind listeners, you're listening to Health Center in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, and I'm talking with Dr. Ann Williams, a registered nurse and vice president of health services and education for Special Olympics International. And when Ann says IDD, that's shorthand for intellectual and developmental disabilities. Excuse me. Yeah, a couple questions. One has to do with accessing this. So I'm thinking about our local community here. Mm-hmm. We have a program for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities here. And so how would they access this? Who gets this? Sure. How do people plug into it?
Sure. So, you're in a great location because Special Olympics New York is a fantastic program. And there's a lot of programming at the state level in New York, but then also locally. So I would say that if families are listening and they want to get involved or somebody with IDD says, maybe I'll give Special Olympics a try, they can certainly go onto our website and look at specialolympics.org. And that really is an overview of all of our services, our sports and competition, our events, our inclusive health work, and it also lists all of our programs. So then that would be able to, somebody would be able to look up and be able to contact Special Olympics New York specifically, and then they would be able to share with them when their local events were and how they could get involved.
And what about the training program? How would we, for example, how do we bring the training to the healthcare providers in our region?
Well, that is wonderful. One, we could, I'm certainly happy to talk with you and anybody else in that area if they're listening and they're healthcare professionals and they want to get involved. We would love to share that curriculum. It's completely free. It's available on our eLearn. We have a learning management system platform, so we could get them set up. We have students who are enrolled. We have faculty who have taken it. So happy to talk more about that. And the other thing that we have to augment that fundamentals curriculum is also a somewhat new program that we've started in 10 different schools across the states is our standardized patient program. We have trained our athletes, our health messengers, to be standardized patients. And so they go in and, you know, students are able to interview them and really begin to do a little bit of hands-on and get that really authentic experience of working with people with IDD. And as a result, the health messengers are thrilled to be a part of this. And the students, we've had nothing but really, really positive, feedback from that. And then there's also, if anybody's interested, certainly they can volunteer for either healthy athlete screenings if you're a healthcare provider. Or if you're not a healthcare provider and you just are interested and you want to volunteer, that's great. You can still volunteer and come out and help us with a sporting event or registration or anything. So.
Great. And let me just say a little bit more about standardized patients for people who don't understand this. Medical and nursing schools in particular will use standardized patients to teach students about assessing people, how to do a good assessment, particularly a health history, but also sometimes physical examinations, and how to then interact with somebody. And in the cases that I was used to, Anne, it was for family nurse practitioners, and we actually had actors and actresses who were paid to do this. So they're given a bit of a script, and so that's why we say standardized, right? Does it work the same way for your standardized patients?
It does, and I can give a brief example. So they also use a script. Our health messengers are trained, and they use a script. They also, in some instances, are paid, so it becomes a part-time employment opportunity for them, which is great. Yeah. But it doesn't interfere with their disability benefits, because I know sometimes people will ask about that.
Yeah.
But as an example, University of Maryland, the Schools of Medicine, Nursing, and Social Work came together, and they decided to use the health messengers at SO Special Olympics Maryland in an interprofessional way. So they came in and a med student, nursing student, and social work student got to actively work together on the interview and the intake of a standardized patient, one of our athletes. But then other schools, can implement it, in a different way. Sometimes they have an interprofessional day. Sometimes they're just going in individually to, say, a nursing simulation lab or a medical school simulation lab. So we just give suggestions. We tell folks what some of the best practices are, but really how that school wants to implement it is completely up to them.
So, Anne, how are you measuring progress?
That's a great question. We have a lot of key performance measures that we look at both internally and then also do our program evaluation. So we track reach statistics, for example. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, we have 130 schools using our curriculum and 10 schools this year in the states with the standardized patient pilot. But then we also get feedback from the students, for example, and from faculty on what their feedback is on the program, for example, the standardized patient program or the inclusive health fundamentals modules. And then we also track, for example, when we have our large global, our world winter games and summer games, we're actually tracking the experience that the athletes have within our healthy athletes experience.
Yeah.
And then we do a debrief, when the team comes back. And we review not just our statistics, but we've asked both the volunteer staff what their experiences were as well as the athletes' experiences. So everything from wait times to how they were treated, et cetera. So that's just a little bit of how we track our progress, but then we certainly are also, we have a very active research and evaluation team that's also working with a lot of, with our scientific advisory board and others to really try to look more outcome measures for some of our work. And there have been two really great articles that have just come out from Dr. Megan Lloyd and team that showed some impressive outcomes in young adults with IDD who participated in Special Olympics. Her first article basically showed that 49% of the young adults that they looked at in Canada were less likely to be diagnosed with depression.
Wow.
And 15% less likely to be diagnosed with diabetes.
Wow.
So yeah. Those are just a couple of quick outcomes that we're really proud of, but of course there's a lot more to learn about. So we continue our quest to look at some of those other outcomes.
So again, if somebody in our community is listening to this and is thinking, well, you know, I have, let's say, a child or a brother mm-hmm. who has an intellectual or developmental disability and is in a special programming for them, but mm-hmm. they're not doing much with physical activity, per se, mm-hmm. if they wanted to try to get more, have physical activity more integrated into mm-hmm. the services that are offered, they would reach out to the New York State Special Olympics?
They could, and then the New York State would then refer them to, say, the local programming. So, you may have programs there within each county. I'm not really, I don't know which county you're in.
Yeah, but, Delaware County.
They would refer, they would refer them to, say, a program there in your, in that county or a neighboring county. But I will say, we do have some resources to your point that, a lot of times people say that it's, we're about competition, but it's not just about competition. We really want, and hope people, stay active, because it's about staying active, having fun, and improving their overall health. And there are different ways to do that. And we have, for example, a program online that people could also take a look at, completely free. It's called Fit 5. Mm-hmm. And it's based on three simple goals that we all could really use, which is to exercise 5 days a week, mm-hmm. to eat 5 fruits and vegetables a day, and to drink 5 water bottles a day. Mm-hmm. And people could start there. So if they have a loved one or somebody that they know, a friend, and they'd like to get them involved, you can start with that if they're not sure about the competition. But after that, then we would encourage them to, come out to an event. They can come and they can watch. And, they may be encouraged to try a sport that they either like or they've always wanted to try. So we've had some athletes who've been in our movement for a while, and they may start out with a sport and then they decide, after several years they want to try a different sport. So it's fine. They can try a different sport. Mm. But anyway, they could start with Fit 5 and do some of the, there are a lot of exercises that are online there, and there are videos there that people can do in their homes. And it's a great way to, I think, get started.
You also talked about policy changes. What would be on the top of your wish list for changes in policy that could support this population?
Wow. Well, there's probably a couple. certainly, we want to keep this population front and center in terms of policy. We would love to have a uniform standards, for example, for all healthcare professionals, that all healthcare professionals, whether they be physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners, pharmacists, whatever, would have a certain level of education that would be standard, for example.
Great.
And that they would have to complete that to, get through their program. That would be one example of a health policy change that we would like.
Great.
We would also, yeah.
And because we're starting to get short on time, I do mm-hmm. want to ask you, I just today saw something mm-hmm. that said that indeed there have been cuts to, I don't know, I know a lot of your funding is donations. My understanding from what I was looking at today is that there is funding that you also get from the federal government, and that has been cut. Is that accurate? Do you know?
So we do receive about 64% of our funding for health work comes from federal funding, but the other 36% is from non-federal funding. And I should really would love to give a shout out to, for example, since this is a New York foundation, but the B. Thomas Scalzano Foundation, which is based in Rochester, New York, has been a wonderful partner with us over the, over many years, and has provided funding that we're, where we've really been able to, you know, achieve our health goals globally. So we're really very fortunate to be working with the Scalzano Foundation. And we continue to be hopeful that our funding is continues.
And it, are, is your health programming in jeopardy at this point because of potential cuts?
At this point, we're you know, moving forward and anticipating that we will continue to get funding from the federal government at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really it's such important work, and I'm mindful. I'm on the advisory committee for the School of Nursing at State University of New York in Delhi, and I'm going to, when I get home, I'm going to inquire, what do they have in their curriculum on IDD? And, yes, we'll refer them to your learning platform, and, it'd be great.
And you have my email. I'm happy to, you know, entertain questions there from any of the professional schools. And we can get them connected, and would love to have them on board.
And if people want more information about Special Olympics and this health work that you're doing, they want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
So, again, our website is specialolympics.org, O-R-G, and on that you can toggle down into what we do, and you'll see inclusive health specifically. You'll see other things, but you can click on inclusive health and get a lot of the information I mentioned there. But if people are so inclined, I'm welcome to give my email as well. awilliams@specialolympics.org.
awilliams@specialolympics.org. Great. And just how long have you been doing this work?
I've been here almost 4 years, but my last 25 years have been in health equity work, so I have a lot of time in public health and population health and health equity. So
well, it's really
work I love.
Yeah, it's really important and enlightening. So I thank you very much for the work that you're doing, and I'm assuming that Special Olympics would always welcome donations.
Sure, we're always open to donations. We're also open to donations of people's time. So if anybody, is interested in coming out and volunteering, that would be wonderful as well. We wouldn't be where we are without our millions of volunteers. So we're grateful for all everybody's time and their talents and resources. So.
And would they go to specialolympics.org, or would they look for the New York State Special Olympics site?
They can do either one. Either one that they would like to do.
And can you access the New York State Special Olympics through the Special Olympics website?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes,
great.
I can.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Ann Williams, Dr. Ann Williams, is a registered nurse and vice president of health services and education for Special Olympics International. Thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills. It's been very informing, Ann, and really good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We greatly appreciate it.
Have a great day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Yeah, really, really good work, and I learned a lot, hope that you did too. It's really amazing that sometimes we don't think about people holistically. And so if you know somebody who has an intellectual or developmental disability, you might want to take a look at What kind of physical activity are they doing? Are they interested in sports? Would they like to be interested in sports? And reach out to the New York State Special Olympics and see what kinds of supports there are in our region. And unfortunately, I didn't know about that. And so I'm actually going to also check with a couple other places in our community that I think maybe ought to be thinking about this topic, like the Rec Center down in Arkville, as well as I said, SUNY Del High School of Nursing, and see if we can't support and improving the health of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So, you've been listening to Health Center in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. Please do stay cool. If you don't have air conditioning, find a cool place and hang around that cool place for a while. Don't get into heat exhaustion. All right. Have a great day.